Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. On demand. No waffling. Everything is black and white. Bring it. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning, Brady and Walker. Leafs, Columbus Blue Jackets tonight on your Halloween Friday. Hopefully it's not as scary for the Leafs as it was last year in Ohio.
Yeah, Columbus has a lot of injuries, a lot of guys out of the lineup. I'm sure there'll be people in the stands. Maybe the coaches should do costumes on Halloween. What's so wrong with that, right? Is there not internal, external pressure for people to dress up at their jobs? Now, you and I, we are getting on out of Dodge by 10:05 a.m. Even if we had great costumes, who sees them, right? Max could be a vampire.
Our show is
Ryan,
not on TV.
No, right? I know. Ryan could be a go-go dancer. He could be one of those
Disco Stew.
The Thunder Down Under, that Australian male exotic review. You know, he's been pumping it hard in the gym, right? So, but we're only here for an hour. We'd have to parade around to get noticed with costumes. Just maybe Randy Carlyle and Steve Spott and Peter Horacek could, you know, go as people tonight. Is that out of the realm of possibility?
I fall somewhere in the middle here, because I do think that grown adults dressing up at work as Halloween is, there's an element of idiocy to it, but you also don't want to be the wet blanket. But I mean, I have an investment appointment at like 10:30 after the show. Like, I'm not
sounds serious
at the bank, right? I'm not going to be wearing. I'm not going to
hey,
be wearing
Harry Potter. Get over here,
Expelliarmus. You got give me that quote. I don't know.
You got a Quidditch broom, and you're trying to move money around. Todd Richards would
exactly.
Not. Todd Richards can't get behind tonight and be Bill Clinton behind the bench. He can't do it.
So, Leafs and Blue Jackets. Now, a year ago, with the Leafs team that we knew and loved last year, this weekend would go like this, and correct me if I'm wrong. Go into Columbus, lose 5-2, have everyone get mad at you. Then you come back, and you get Chicago tomorrow night at the ACC, and somehow, inexplicably, they win that game.
Yeah.
And this year, the early returns, it's kind of been the opposite, right?
It has, and I don't know how long that holds up, really. I mean, you've got three road games. They went to the Rangers and slammed them the night after being bad against Pittsburgh. They went to Detroit and got a point.
Played well. Yep.
After being really bad at home the very night before. And as we all know, they went to the island after, I guess that was technically after the Saturday game against Detroit. So they were trying to build some momentum, went to Long Island. We're supposed to play Ottawa, as we know, on the Wednesday and couldn't and didn't. So this is only the fourth road game. You know, weirdly, they're kind of due for a road dud. Every team has them. But I can't, it's harder to picture it be tonight when you look at Columbus's lineup. And we knew no Nathan Horton for a while, but Dubinsky, Anisimov, Wisniewski, Boone Jenner, Bobrovsky, probably Nick Foligno, who hasn't played since he had the run-in with the official, literally. So you're talking six of their best 10 or 11 players out of the lineup tonight. It's Ryan Johansson, Scott Hartnell, Jack Johnson, and a bunch of guys tonight.
Scott Hartnell is going to join us from the Columbus Blue Jackets at 8:07, the longtime Philadelphia Flyer, enjoying a pretty good start to his season in Columbus, and right now playing a career-high 20-plus minutes a night. So a big topic this week, and you know what? He will be, as long as he plays here, and it's fair, Nazem Kadri. Now, Nazem Kadri has played all but one game on a line with Joffrey Lupul. That's been the Leafs' kind of second line. Now, things have been mixed up a little bit. We saw that against the Buffalo Sabres. But I know yesterday there were some people talking about it. There's some articles on how Nazem Kadri and Joffrey Lupul, despite their point totals, which are 2 and 3, respectively, very, very good for this team. I agree with one of those things. I think Joffrey Lupul has been very good. I'm still having a difficult time coming around on how Nazem Kadri's having such a great season.
Oh, he's not having a great season. No, come on. No one's arguing he's having a great
season. Oh, yes, people are.
Season.
Yes, people are. I read I read and you read, and people are arguing that.
I realize
and
you. I've never claimed you're not a reader.
One group of people is arguing that, and it's the analytics community.
Okay, so is there not an element that they we're only taking a few games and we're
9 games?
Okay, so how many points is it about production for Nazem Kadri and Joffrey Lupul? Is Lupul not paid to go get results? He had 9 shots the other night against Buffalo. None of them went in.
He was their best player against Buffalo.
Okay.
Right?
So you're happy with what he's doing, and somehow he's carrying, he's putting Nazem Kadri on his back like it's some kind of Mad Max character, Master Blaster, and he's taking him and having good games but not producing.
There's two ways to look at this, and I'm not, and people don't think I'm dismissing analytics, because I'm not, right? But there's two ways to look at this. There is your straight production, right? You can have Alexander Ovechkin can have some bad analytics numbers, but hey, I'll take his 50 goals because it's going to help you win. And then there's the actual possession type of numbers. Now, Nazem Kadri doesn't have the production going for him, and I would say that possession wise, Joffrey Lupul has been an unbelievable player on that line. I can see the argument with Joffrey Lupul, but my contention is Lupul's kind of grabbed Kadri by the short and curlies and drug him around the ice.
There's nothing Kadri's doing that's allowing Lupul to do that. Wouldn't you think if your center's playing terribly, it's really hard for a winger to be really good? Wouldn't you think that?
It's more difficult, but,
okay,
but I've been much more impressed with Lupul than Kadri.
Oh, I have been also. I guess at the end of the day, here's what I hear about Kadri. Hey, when's he going to start producing? He had 50 points as a 23-year-old last year, and we tried to tell people that you're not going to be a point-per-game player on an average to below-average team on the second line getting second power play minutes. Yeah, I know, but him without the puck. So, I mean, which is it? How many points do you think he's going to have by the end of the year? Nazem Kadri. Do you think he's really going to have less than 40? So if he has 50 again, is this a bad season?
It could be. No one's debating his skill. No one's debating his ability to put up points. It's about, but here we are.
You're not a big face-off. Nerd. Okay, everyone's like, hey, nerds with your stats. Oh, face-offs and hits. The face-off nerd's the worst guy out there. Face-offs have so little to do with winning hockey games. And that's not you.
It's one of many aspects. But this is, I know we want to have this big debate between small and large sample sizes, but guess what? This is a contract year for Nazem Kadri, right? Nazem Kadri wants to make $6.5 million next year, right? The Leafs would love him to make $3 million as their third-line center. That's kind of how it goes. How many games... And I don't know when is the proper sample size, but how many games have you looked at Nazem Kadri and said, boy, he was good tonight? Out of 9? I don't know. Over under of 1.5, maybe?
Okay, Tyler Bozak's career year was after he got his contract. He had a 28-point year in 48 games.
Answer the question. How many games?
Oh, you don't like the Bozak talk.
You're
going to
say, no. I asked you a question.
That,
I asked you a question.
Right,
how many games has Kadri been good?
In the 9, not many, half at most. Like, what are we talking good? He hasn't produced. He has to produce more. I'd be the first to tell you that. But so does Joffrey Lupul. Those pucks, and I expect them to. That's the thing. No, they're not going to score 2 goals out of every 9 games the rest of the way. They're not, and that said, that averages out to be about 21, 22 goals in a full season if those guys stay healthy. Now, that's the big issue as well with Kadri and Lupul.
10 after 7, maybe we learn something this weekend. Columbus tonight, and then a big game against Chicago, and there'll be some tough matchups with what Chicago has
and,
up the middle.
And Phil Kessel is their line mate. We neglect to mention that. Going forward in the future, will that help production? It should.
Games tonight at 7 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. First, let's get you what you need to know on your Friday.
This is your Friday morning six-pack. 6 things you need to start your day.
Number 6, yes, it's Halloween. Maybe some scary movies tonight. Don't forget to pick up your candy. And this is what the weather looks like as far as trick-or-treating goes for you and your kids. It's not going to be great. Now, it's not going to be freezing. We've had, minus 20 years before. But it's going to be some rain today and changing to snow later in the evening, a high of 8 degrees. If you go early enough, you might avoid the weather altogether. Got to dress warm.
We're trying to keep numbers down to the Brady household. Yams tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a versatile vegetable. You can roast them. You can make fries out of them. It's very healthy for the youngsters. None of these Hershey and Nestle products, just straight yams.
I remember the worst Halloween candy slash gift I ever. It was a bookmark. Bookmarks. This one house is handing out bookmarks. It's like a house of teachers or something.
Go to the librarian's house.
Number five, another injury last night to Russell Westbrook. The first game of the season for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Westbrook breaks a bone in his hand. Are we at the point with OKC that Westbrook has turned into this, I don't know, Ken Griffey Jr. type of Band-Aid?
And it was like that with Eric Lindros, wasn't it?
Yeah,
for
a
good chunk
example.
Of the Rangers, Dallas, Toronto, you just weren't sure when he was going to be healthy. This is still a really young player, but boy, do the Raptors ever get a break. Tuesday, Oklahoma City comes in and takes on a very healthy Raptors team, and they're missing their two best players. Durant's missed a lot of these OKC visits to Toronto. That's Tuesday night at the ACC after the Raptors go to Orlando and Miami this weekend.
Number four, NFL Thursday night. It was All Saints 28-10 over the Carolina Panthers. When you look ahead to the playoffs, if we assume that the Saints are going to win this division but not be great, we're talking 8-8, we're talking 9-7. Doesn't this set up as perhaps the best game of wild card weekend because you might have one of the Packers or the Seahawks or the Niners on the road in New Orleans?
Is it going to be one of those oddities where the road team is favored? And that'll be strange because New Orleans may end up being on this amazing winning streak of home games. They were 8-0 last year at home. They've already started out 3-0. When I look at the Saints' home schedule the rest of the way, San Fran's a toughie next Sunday, but they've got Cincinnati, Baltimore, Carolina, Atlanta. They're going to win a good chunk of their home games the rest of the way. And like you said, maybe host Seattle, maybe host a Green Bay Packers team again in a rematch. You're going to get a closer game in terms of the home team potentially losing than you will in some of the other three wild card games. Yeah.
Number three, busy night in the NHL, including the Devils getting by the Jets in a shootout. Interesting for the Devils. It was their first shootout win in 18 tries, which is incredible. The game of the night might have been the light one. You saw it on Sportsnet. It was the Vancouver Canucks in overtime, 3-2 over Montreal. Tonight, it's Detroit and LA on Sportsnet 1. Number two, LeBron James back in Cleveland, Greg, the much anticipated debut. You can only imagine what tickets were costing last night. And then you got a dud. LeBron had 17 points as the Cavaliers lost to the Knicks.
Be shocked if he turns the ball over 8 times any game the rest of the season. But yeah, maybe the Knicks got a little fresh. These back-to-backs are tricky because there's no rust to shake off. New York got embarrassed at home by Chicago in front of all their celeb fans the night before. Ben Stiller, Spike Lee, and they go to Cleveland where there's just not terribly a lot of celebs and lost last night. Cleveland goes to Chicago tonight, so maybe they'll do the same to the Bulls and Derrick Rose this evening.
And the number one thing you need to know, Leafs and Jackets tonight right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Puck drops at 7. We want to send you to the ACC tomorrow as Toronto takes on the Chicago Blackhawks. It is Brady and Walker's Ticket Window, brought to you, as always, by the Great Blue Heron Casino. Generally, we give you some clues, and then at 8:14, you can name the mystery player we're talking about. Today, special Halloween edition, you have about 90 minutes to go. Send us a picture on Twitter, at Brady and Walker, with your best sports-themed Halloween costume. If it's really good, if it wows us, we'll give you the tickets to Toronto-Chicago tomorrow night at the ACC.
Elliot Friedman next at 7:22. A major world city has banned Halloween costumes from their subway. As long as they're not singing, I don't care. When people start singing on the subway, coming and going to Halloween parties, that's usually bad. Barbershop quartets.
People
Halloween
dress
contests.
Up on, people dress up on the subway 365, don't they?
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Keep it here for more Brady and Walker, only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
7:23, good morning, Brady and Walker on your Friday. Leafs and Blue Jackets coming up tonight at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We have it for you. Puck drops at 7. Stellick and Osborne have your Leaf Station post-game show following.
What do you think the most hotly debated, is it okay to give out, is it not okay to give out, is it good, is it not, candy is? A lot of people go in on candy corn, and that's split right down the middle. A lot of people on the Tootsie Rolls. Like I mentioned, I hate the stickiness. I've never been a toffee person. Toffee. I've always hated that stuff. Anything that sticks to my teeth. I'm glad you brought that up.
I remember
as a kid, like you,
that's
you,
what she, no, that's not a, that's what she said. You guys are awful in there.
If you were gonna divide your candy into, like, let's say a pie chart, there would be exorbitantly high volume slice of Tootsie Roll. Too big for how bad a candy it is. Like, you don't see people handing out Werther's, right? Why are you handing out Tootsie
Rolls? But candy corn's not going to stick to my teeth. You feel instantly you need to brush.
Who hands out candy?
That'd be like handing out, like,
I think it's a much bigger thing in the States. I do.
Chalky mints.
I think it's like cornbread. It's a much bigger thing in the States. By the way, we are hours away. Maybe we're coming somewhere in 2014. Don't you think we're hours away from having no NHL players dress up as black R&B artists? God, they have not seen a Jay-Z.
Don't get me started.
I have not seen Michael Jackson. I have not seen Prince, Raspberry Beret with the short hair. I've not seen it. We're coming places, people.
Call me completely insensitive, but if Joffrey Lupul wants to dress up as Jay-Z, I don't think it's racist.
Okay, it's insensitive. He's not a card carrying Klan member, but it's insensitive. I know you understand this.
What if PK Subban dresses up as Carey Price? Is that racist?
See, we were looking this morning on the NFL Network. LeVar Arrington's dressed up as JJ Watt.
Oh, and racism.
He is painted with baby. He looks like somebody just did, you know, like white walls, basically. Somebody just primed a wall.
So go on Twitter and be outraged. Where's the outrage?
I'm not going to do it.
I don't get it.
I'm more outraged about the Tootsie Rolls.
Whatever.
Elliot Friedman joins us. It's really tough. I know. Sorry about all this. NHL and Sports at Insider brought to you by Sicily Honda. Candy, blackface, you don't have to talk about any of it if you don't want to.
Yeah, actually, I thought that was a pretty interesting conversation. Much better than what I've got, that's for sure.
I can't imagine. So
tell us about this escrow.
I'll tell you a funny story. When I had my first interview with Scott Moore, when I was being interviewed to come over here.
Was he dressed up?
No, he was okay. Not. Just as a powerful television executive. he said to me, one of the words I don't want to hear on our broadcast is escrow. So you're really, really taking me down my job here. If you want to know about it,
I still don't really know what it is, to be honest. So yeah,
when you buy your house, Andrew, you'll learn.
Yeah, it'll. Now what gets given out of the Friedman household tonight? You got to tell us.
Not escrow.
No, of course not.
No, we bought
stock dividends.
Hershey's candies.
Yeah. Hershey and peanut free people need that, right? You're a very awful, terrible human, which is too bad.
Oh, really? I'm glad you told me. I'll check.
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, I have one kid with a nut allergy, so I'd look like a hypocrite if
that's a good one. I'll check on that. Yeah, that's a good plan. I really have. You know what? See, you guys have done me a service.
I know.
Today.
Yes,
and my neighborhood too.
Andrew's told you it's okay for you to go out as Denzel Washington from Training Day tonight, and it's also and the peanut free things also. Yeah, we're here to help.
I'll defend you.
Hey, so this Columbus team tonight about as banged up as a hockey team can get. 9-10 games in, and do you expect there to be a lot of leakage there because of all these injuries? And Ryan Johansson, I hope John Davidson is maybe he'll take credit for the motivation, but there's not too many centers that have played as well as this kid out of the gate. If Sochi were this year, Elliot, people would talk about him for Sochi. He might not make the team, but he'd be in conversations about it.
Well, the people who like it the most are the players who think the training camp's overrated, right? You know, we don't need training camp. We don't need this many exhibition games. Look at Ryan Johansson. He misses all of them, and he shows up and how well he's playing. I just think, you know, they've got, I think, $23 million on injured reserve. And the biggest one is obviously the goalie. Like, when Johansson was hurt, Johansson was out, you know, one of the debates was he was trying to say he was just as valuable to the team as Bobrovsky is. And, you know, we're going to find that out over this next little while. They lost earlier this week to Ottawa, and you can tell they were a little different without Bobrovsky back there to bail them out of mistakes. It was kind of like how Buffalo was when Hasek was there. Like, they could do anything on the ice, and they believed that no matter what they did wrong, that guy behind them was going to bail them out. And Bobrovsky, they had a similar mentality with him. And I think that's going to be tested now that he's out with the broken finger. He's such a backbone of their team. But they're hard to play against. I'm not going to use the word I used on the air a couple weeks ago. They're hard to play against, and they will not make it easy. They will make the Maple Leafs fight for every inch of their ice tonight.
there's not too often that you're talking about a 2-1 Devils-Jets shootout game as being overly interesting, but whenever I see the Devils are in a shootout, it's kind of been must-watched click over just to see if the streak can continue. They arguably missed the playoffs last year because of the shootout, and finally get off the schneid last night.
And I believe the Jets were the last team they beat before going on that streak, too. So there's something about Winnipeg that's good for them. I thought Schneider was really good last night, considering how embarrassed they were after they got beaten up by Pittsburgh the other night. The Jets are going to be an interesting team to watch. I think, you know, it's tough for them to make the playoffs in that conference for one thing. Pavlik gave them a great game last night. He made a brilliant save off Yager at the end of regulation to even give them a point. And I think other teams are starting to circle around them and say, you know, exactly what are you guys going to be doing here with some of your parts? And I know there's always a lot of rumors about Evander Kane who returned, but I think, you know, Ladd and Byfuglien next year are going to be heading into the last years of their contract. They've got, each of them have some no-move protection or no-trade protection, but I do think you're going to see some teams start to ask Winnipeg, you know, what are you thinking with those two guys? Are you thinking keep, or are you thinking that you may want to see what you can get for them? Because I think there would be a lot of interest in both of them.
Elliot Friedman, our guest. Don't forget, Leafs Columbus tonight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet Ontario. Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow. Leafs Chicago, tons more games. We'll run them down for you later this hour. We were talking about Nashville yesterday a fair bit and how, you know, I'm all for, Barry Trotz, really good coach, but I heard a lot of, wow, that was unfair, what did he do wrong, and how could he ever win there? And maybe it was time to turn the page there watching the Predators. Maybe it was time to give the fans a little more offensive bang for the buck. They are fun to watch. Rene's healthy. They have lowest goals against in the league right now. I know we're only 10, 11 games in, but maybe it was the right time for a change. And right now, Trotz and Washington are really struggling.
Well, he was in the studio last year on Hockey Night during the playoffs, and I didn't get the sense that he felt he was unfairly treated at all. As a matter of fact, I got the sense that even he felt it was time.
Like Joe Maddon in Tampa, maybe just time to check out what else is out there.
Something else, yeah. You know, the thing about Washington, first of all, Nashville went into Edmonton and skated them right into the ground. You don't see that very often. The Edmonton, for whatever struggles they have, it's not usually speed or somebody skating around them, and that happened. But the thing about Washington that's really interesting is watching Ovechkin right now. He goes through Canada. He doesn't score, but he gets a lot of compliments for blocking a couple of shots. In Calgary, he hit the crossbar with the Capitals leading 3-1 with about 3 minutes left, and he got back to defend the Calgary opportunity off the bounce off the bar. Like, he got praised in Western Canada for doing all the right things. But then they come back home. He goes scoreless against Detroit. The first time he goes five games without a point in his career, and you can see it's killing him. Like, it is killing him not to score. He took a ton of opportunities on the power play. There was even a couple times he didn't do his one-timer because he couldn't, but he held the puck and tried to shoot anyway. The frustration is very obvious. Now, I remember Gary Galley once telling me a story about Cam Neely and Harry Sinden. You know, Cam Neely went through a stretch where he wasn't scoring, and Harry Sinden came down and asked him about it, and he says, hey, I'm getting my chances. And he said that Harry Sinden looked at Cam Neely and said, I don't pay you to get chances. I pay you to score. And I think if you're a big-time goal scorer, that's the mentality you have. You can get all the chances you want, but if you don't bury it, you feel it. And Ovechkin is certainly feeling it right now.
Elliot Friedman, our guest. Brady Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We got about 30, 40 seconds here. Yep. Give us the latest on the NHL expanding to Las Vegas.
Well, I think the story was taken to a bit of another level yesterday. The chief financial officer of MGM, which is building that rink in Vegas, was quoted in one of the Vegas papers as saying, we are interested and we've had conversations with a group. And that group is believed to be led by a guy named William Foley, who's got a contact in Vegas, who's actually the commissioner's half-brother. So it's, you know, it's not coming right out and saying there's going to be a team there, but I think it's interesting that the people building the rink have talked about a conversation with a group that will probably take this discussion a bit higher.
Ellie will be watching tomorrow night. Thanks for this morning.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
And happy Halloween. Elliot Friedman joining us on Brady and Walker, brought to you by Cicely Hanna. So Chicago-Toronto, CBC tomorrow. City has Ottawa and Boston. Winnipeg and the Rangers on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 1 has Buffalo in Pittsburgh. Wow, that's not a mismatch. FX has Washington and Tampa and the late-night game across the CBC. Canucks, Oilers, and don't forget Toronto Raptors on Sportsnet 360. Wow, Raptors in Orlando to take on the Orlando Magic to try and go 2-0.
Also, don't forget Sportsnet 590 The Fan giving you a chance to win a hockey trip for two to Montreal. You think Vegas is good? Go to Montreal from partypoker.net. The World Poker Tour coming to Montreal this November. David Deeks from Brampton. You're our newest qualifier for a chance to win round-trip transport to Montreal, two nights hotel, Toronto-Montreal hockey tickets on February the 14th from partypoker.net. Another qualifier coming up on Monday. Get your name in for a chance to win. Our contest page is right there at sportsnet590.ca.
Jason Lockin for a next NFL Insider. Cam Newton is a book, a narrative starting to be written and confirmed. He was very bad last night. And, hey, you think Vegas is good? How about Red Deer, Alberta?
Yeah.
We'll do our Red Deer, Alberta hometown hockey trivia contest at 7:50. Boy, I'm looking at an aerial view of it right now from a – looks – there's a couple bridges that link the downtown.
Hey, listen, if you start ripping Red Deer, Ron McLean and myself, we will both take you up on
the
woodshed.
I know. You're a former Red Deerian.
Yes.
They actually call people that.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
They line up tight. They're going to throw. They're going to Graham. And he's got the catch for the touchdown. Jimmy Graham. One-on-one. And he'll win it almost every time.
Something strange.
Happy Halloween, 7:43. It's Brady and Walker. I'm Andrew Walker. He is Greg Brady. The Saints. Well, you tell me, did the Saints make a statement last night, or in their own way, did kind of Carolina?
Saints might be one of the best 14 or 15 teams in football, but they're probably going to win their division and host a very good, maybe 11-win wildcard team when it's all said and done. It's hard to extrapolate it out, but
Saints,
I'd be shocked if 11 shouldn't miss in the NFC.
Saints, I'm telling you right now, Saints-Seahawks wildcard weekend in New Orleans. That's
like,
what it's going
like
to be.
Like we said, rematch of the game up in Seattle when Seattle was 7-9 and won that first round game. Jason Lockenfora, our friend from NFL, from CBS Sports, our NFL insider. Is there an appetite in the least, it gets discussed in off seasons, to talk about that home game? We've seen 8-7-1, 8-8, 7-9 teams host these type of games. And since they went to the four division format, it was one thing to squeeze in, go to somebody else's place and get your brains beat in. But now these teams get the home game against 11-5 teams potentially, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle won the NFC West about 4 years ago with a 7-9 record. And at that point, I thought there was a fair amount of outrage at that within the league, and that if they were ever going to restructure this playoff format, it was going to be coming out of that. And really, it didn't have much momentum. And a lot of these owners, for whatever reason, feel like there should be a certain sanctity to winning your division, no matter how bad it is. It should come with some spoils beyond just getting in the playoffs. I think that's a little antiquated and naive myself, but I don't have a vote. So it doesn't really matter. So I don't think much will change in terms of that. But you're right. It could be a rematch of that Saints game. And if you recall that year, that was the year I think that the Saints were 7-9. And New Orleans was like coming off a Super Bowl or whatever.
Yeah.
And boom, they got them up at their place in the Pacific Northwest and got them pretty good in the second half of that game. Certainly you can sort of see the reverse happening this year if that's how it played out. I think the one thing last night's game does is means we don't have to talk about the NFC South until January. Until that game, whoever the Saints host, like, there should be a moratorium on speaking nationally or internationally about that division because it's got awful, and the Saints pretty much won it last night.
Did you see a lot of slippage coming for Carolina? They started 2-0. They had a real impressive week 2 win against the Lions. And we were just talking out 12 NFL playoff teams last year, Jason, and 10 of the 12 are in great shape. We might have all repeat teams even in the AFC. So it's not one of those weird years where four or five teams fall out, four or five teams are going
to
get in. But
yeah, on average, it's at least five to six new ones.
Yeah.
I didn't think Carolina would be back even in that division because of some of their off-season losses. And then their in-season losses. I mean, you take what they lost at the wide receiver position. The fact that they came into the year and you're really wondering, and Kelvin Benjamin's done a great job, but especially coming into the year, you're wondering who's going to protect Cam, who's going to catch the ball, and then with some of the injuries in the running back position, who's going to run the ball? So I did have big concerns about them, and I thought the defense would slip a little bit. I didn't think it would go from 15 points a game to 33 points a game or whatever they're allowing now. But that's sort of who they've become. And losing Greg Hardy in year really has derailed that entire defense. And they don't get a pass rush anymore, which really leaves that undermanned secondary out to dry. Luke Kuechly, you don't hear much of him. Starlo Talele, you don't hear much of him. I mean, those were supposed to be – that's the spine of your defense. And those guys played it. You know, all pro levels last year, and this year they're just kind of along for the ride.
So, if we have a moratorium on the NFC South, the NFC West still has to be maybe the most fascinating. And I want to get your opinion on this because Arizona has Dallas this weekend, and maybe we learn a little something about the Cardinals here. But San Fran has 3 losses already. Seattle's 3 losses already. Will we be talking about one of these teams missing the postseason?
I think we might. I think we might. I think all 3 of those teams are legit. Where my questions are with Dallas and with Detroit, and if they really, this is who they're going to be in the second half of the year, and if they're going to come close to matching their first half win totals in the second half. If they do, then, I mean, they're both making the playoffs. I think that's, there's your two wild cards if they both keep this up. And then 2 teams in the West are probably left holding the bag. I'm not sure that they are going to do that, though. I think Arizona is legitimate. I mean, you can't say how they're going to do it. You can't say why they're going to do it. They just do it. Under Bruce Arians, they just go and get wins no matter what it takes. And I think they're catching the Cowboys at a time when they're probably a little bit vulnerable coming off that loss in a short week, scrambling at the quarterback position, not knowing what they have in Tony Romo, having their defense get exposed a little bit. I kind of like Arizona in this spot.
This was one of the first years that I felt like I and maybe many others kind of jumped off New England early. You just looked around and said, okay, this might be the year that there's some leakage. This is the year. And you look and it's not that they lost to Kansas City. It was really how they lost, and they were struggled against Miami opening weekend. Or should we be more back in now on what New England's doing and just say, hey, with Belichick and Brady, who host Denver this weekend, why bet against them?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to still like them to win that division. I don't know if as presently constituted they're full bore for a long playoff run. I mean, I don't know what about Chandler Jones and when he's coming back. I think it'll be later rather than sooner. They don't have much of a pass rush without him. They already lost Gerard Mayo for the year. I worry about the defense. Offensively, with that, remember, that was the big problem in the first 3-4 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. Gronk is Gronk again. Brandon LaFell now knows this system. Tim Wright now knows this system. And we're not superstars, but let's face it, Brady's never had superstars. He just needs competent ball catchers who can separate a little bit and know what route to run. And he has, you know, it's not just Edelman anymore. He has 4 of those guys now. So I think they're kind of okay in that regard. The offensive line has held together better the second month of the season than it did the first month of the season. My concern is defensively, if they're really going to get stops when they need them. Darrell Revis is going to be an interesting player to watch in the second half of the season. If he plays like an MVP, which he certainly can, then I think New England is going to be right there in the end. They'll be okay. They'll get Chandler Jones back in all likelihood for the playoffs, and they'll be able to do something. If he can't be otherworldly, they got some problems.
It's one of the big CBS games this weekend. Hey, Jason, we'll be watching. Happy Halloween. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
There's Jason Lockenfora joining us. Patriots put about 150-plus points the last 4 weeks, but they've also played pretty inferior competition. They got some very tough games coming up. We'll play the Terrible 10, by the way, for $150 from Bodog and Bills tickets coming up at 8:40 before Jeff Blair makes his way in at 9 o'clock.
7:50, Brady and Walker, Sports State 590 The Fan. Now, this weekend on Rogers Hometown Hockey on City TV, it makes a stop in my old stomping grounds and Ron McLean's old stomping grounds, Red Deer, Alberta. It'll be the Flames and Canadiens in Montreal is the game on City on Sunday night. So we do our, every Friday, hometown hockey trivia.
Now, I'm not eligible because I know everything and everything there is to know about Red Deer. But I will throw these questions at you, Greg.
How many
Brady.
Years did you live there, though? That's important to know. And when? How old were you?
I was there from 2004 to 2010, doing a lot of Red Deer Rebels
games. So really,
games.
Really deformative years, probably behavior-wise, if you will.
Come on.
Honestly, the studio audience doesn't have to weigh in on everything.
All right, I have some questions for you, Greg Brady, and for you. Ryan Faber, our producer, is in as well. Okay, Greg, give me a population of Red Deer.
Oh, I did well last week with Saskatoon. I think it's less than Saskatoon. I'm going to say 123,000 people.
All right, Faber, under or over that mark?
I go under.
It is under. It is 98,000. It'll be a big day.
It's harder for me than it is for you. That was true.
I was going to guess
$1 Price is Right bidding.
No, it's 50-50. It is 98,000. It'll be a big celebration when they hit quadruple digits or six digits. Name the player who did not play for the Red Deer Rebels. James Reimer, Mason Raymond, Cam Ward, Chris Versteeg, Martin Hansel. Fabro, one of these players did not play for the Red Deer Rebels.
I'll go Mason Raymond.
I think it was Chris Versteeg that did not.
Mason Raymond did not. Mason Raymond, is from Alberta, but played Junior A. Ryan Faber is correct. Chris Versteeg did play in Red Deer for one season. Red Deer is home to the Canada Sports Hall of Fame. True or false?
I will say true.
Greg?
Well, I'm going to say true also.
It is false. It's home to the Alberta Sports Hall of Fame. Canada's Sports Hall of Fame is down the road in Calgary. All right, when you're driving into Red Deer, written in large letters on the sign, you know how every like sign, welcome to, has a slogan?
This one has says, turn around.
Don't come in.
Honestly.
As you're entering,
my family's here today.
As you're entering Red Deer, the sign says, welcome to Red Deer, a nuclear weapons-free zone.
Oh.
Oh my true God. Or false,
it
Ryan?
It has to be true, because how could you make something so stupid up?
Greg?
No, I don't think so.
The sign literally says, welcome to Red Deer, a nuclear weapons-free
yes.
zone. Yeah, thanks.
Well, if someone scrubbed out the nuclear, that wouldn't be true, because I'm assuming 80% of Red Deer residents are packing at all times.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of
nuclear.
There's a lot of nuclear weapons in Red Deer for some reason. True or false, Labatt Light Beer is brewed in Red Deer. Ryan Faber.
Labatt Light. That sounds... I've never really heard of Labatt Light, and I've drank my fair share of Labatt products. But Labatt Light.
Lab Light?
I say true.
I'm saying no. Labatt had a big brewery in London. I don't think so. I don't think they branched out to Red Deer. And
yes. Labatt Light is popular in Red Deer, but not brewed anywhere
not.
Close to Red Deer.
Okay.
Greg, you are correct.
Thank you for that.
All right, here's one. True or false, Greg? Red Deer's current mayor is arguably... the hottest mayor in the country. Now, I'm talking young, blonde, Scarlett Johansson hot. True or false?
Yeah, but John Tory has that, you know, esteemed, sleek look.
Well, if you like the financial security, you'll go with John.
Yeah, I knew they had a female mayor, so yes. So I'm going to say yes. True.
Fabro?
I just want this to be true.
It is very true.
Yeah.
Her name is, and I don't want to be inappropriate here, but Tara Vere is a smoke show.
Can we... post a pic of her on
Oh,
Twitter?
Yes, we can. I have some on my phone. I'll send it to you. And finally, true or false, not true or false.
So she's hotter than Calgary's mayor? That guy's pretty...
Mayor Nenshi?
Yeah, that guy's also...
Mississauga's mayor?
He's got that look.
And I want you guys to name the celebrity who does not consider Red Deer their hometown. Olympic medalist Jeremy Weatherspoon, figure skater Jamie Soleil, L.A. Kings head coach Daryl Sutter, or Calgary Flames veteran Curtis Glencross. One of these
does
not consider Red Deer their hometown.
Mrs. Craig Simpson. That's Jamie Soleil. I believe it's Jamie Soleil that does not.
I know Weatherspoon does.
I think he's wrong. Isn't Daryl Sutter's from Viking, so I say Sutter.
You're absolutely right.
Boom!
The Sutters are synonymous with Red Deer, but Daryl is really not
Next
from
time
Red
we
Deer
have
at
Craig
all.
Craig Simpson on, we'll ask him how much time he spends in Red Deer.
Brady's terrible.
Jamie Soleil's from Red Deer.
Yeah,
trust
how often
me.
Do they go back?
I don't know. All the time? All the time.
Not that hard.
Like, he's from up the road, isn't he? Right. No, he's from London.
I know that. I'm
That's
aware.
Pretty good. Ryan Faber is the winner.
Thank you.
He had more Red Deer trivia questions right. And yes, we'll post a picture on our Twitter account. Look up Tara Vere, the mayor of Red Deer. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, it's like ScarJo. 7:55, Brady and Walker.
How old is she? She looks like she's like a college student.
I know. Isn't that unbelievable?
8:02, we're back in on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Scott Hartnell, the Columbus Blue Jackets, who they play tonight, joins us.